My dearly beloved in Christ, this morning I would like to speak about a topic that I have spoken of before in past years at this time of year, and that is a period of prayer that is currently being observed that is called the Chair of Unity Octave, or Church Unity Octave. And it's very interesting because this period of prayer, which begins on January 18th, the Feast of St. Peter's Chair at Rome, and concludes January 25th, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, this period of 8 days is to pray for conversions to the church, which is how true church unity is fostered, by the conversion of non-Catholics. And what is interesting about this particular period of prayer, which is indulgenced and approved by the church, is that it was begun in our country by a non-Catholic. His name was Paul Watson, and he was an Anglican minister, born in the later 1800s. He founded a community of brothers and another community of sisters following the rule of St. Francis, but he was an Anglican minister, son of an Anglican minister. And this community is located in Graymore, New York, which is maybe an hour or so north of New York City along the Hudson River. And so here was this Paul Watson with his community very conscientiously following the Franciscan rule, but he was an Anglican. And over time, he came to realize, because he desired so much that there would be unity among Christians, and he came to realize that the source of that unity would have to come from the Pope. And it's interesting that while he was still an Anglican, he would take up a collection every year, what we call Peter's Pence, and he would send it to the Pope. And here he was an Anglican. But of course, the grace of God brought about a complete conversion. He came to realize that the Catholic Church is the true church and that he must enter the church, and he appealed to the Pope, who at that time, this is now the early 1900s, was Pope St. Pius X. And what is interesting, Cardinal Mary Duval interceded for this group, and it is the only case in church history where a community of religious who were non-Catholic were received into the church, their whole community, without having to disband. In other words, normally they would be received individually as members, but the community was received and allowed to continue as a Catholic religious community, the Society of the Atonement, as it was called. So it's quite an extraordinary man. But the idea of church unity was very prominent at that time, the turn of the 20th century, late 1800s, early 1900s. And there was such a desire among many Christians, both Catholic and non-Catholic, for unity that they began to have congresses and meetings, etc. And it was necessary for the church to provide guidelines because there were a lot of false concepts. And so Pope Pius XI, in January 1928, so 90 years ago, published a wonderful encyclical on true Christian unity called Mortalium Animos. And if you've never read it, I recommend it to you because, for a couple reasons, it's a lot more readable or easy to understand than some of the deep encyclicals of the Holy Fathers, which really are written to the bishops, to provide instruction to the bishops. But Mortalium Animos, on fostering true Christian unity, is one that lay people can understand. And also, it's not very long by comparison to other encyclicals, only has 13 chapters. Of course, some of those are fairly lengthy. But in a nutshell, what the Pope says in this encyclical, Mortalium Animos, is that there is only one way to have true Christian unity, and that is if those who are in error renounce their errors and are converted and become members of the church that Christ established. And of course, that's only logical. But there were many who were promoting a false Christian unity. Unity at any cost. Let's just simply not talk about our differences and just get together. But that's not the unity that our Lord desired and taught, and that we see from his example. Notice, when our Lord taught something that was hard, that was difficult, he didn't water it down because certain people didn't like it. In fact, on one occasion, he was talking about his approaching passion, and St. Peter, of all people, St. Peter said, "Lord, far be it from thee for this to happen to thee." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art a scandal to me." He would brook no opposition, and he wouldn't water down his teachings because they were hard. So we see that in our Lord's life. We know that there are non-Catholic denominations because of the pride of men. Individuals who started their own church, started their own religion, wanted to do their own thing. We know that Christ established only one church, and that church is the Roman Catholic Church. And we give thanks to God every day for our faith, that we are members of that church. And we must desire the conversion of all of those who are outside the true church, for their conversion and repentance and entrance into Christ's one true church. Now, as I said, there was all this desire and this movement towards unity, of which Paul Watson was part of. But he, by the grace of God, came to understand the way to have true unity, to become a Catholic. And not only was his whole community received into the church, but he himself went to a seminary and was ordained a priest. But he started this octave of prayer for unity, and it was approved eventually by the church and indulgenced. Now, fast forward a little bit to the 1960s. So there was still this false idea of unity, that at any cost, let's just simply get together, have interfaith services, etc. And you know that that is something that Vatican II promoted. One of the heresies of Vatican II, or several heresies, revolve around this idea. And Vatican II began to promote what is called ecumenism. And that was this practice of getting together and simply not talking about how we differ, but just talk about what we agree upon, just so we can feel good, I guess, but a false unity. Vatican II had several documents on this topic, and one of them was on non-Christian religions. And in this document, they praise Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, etc., all these other, not even non-Christian religions. Nothing is said about their errors, just praising them. One of the heresies of Vatican II is that it taught that non-Catholic religions can be means of salvation. And it taught that specifically. But that cannot be. How can a man-made religion be a means of salvation? That's not possible. Now, if someone who is in, like Paul Watson, who is in a non-Catholic church, comes to the knowledge of the truth, it wasn't because of the religion that he was part of. It was the actual graces that God gave him or her in searching for the truth and praying for guidance, the actual graces they received, not the false religion they were in. But you see, that's what Vatican II taught. It taught that non-Catholic religions are means of salvation. And of course, that's part of the whole concept of modernism, which has led to all of the interfaith and the so-called ecumenism that we have seen since Vatican II that is so prominent in the modern so-called Catholic Church. So let us remember what true Christian unity is and pray for that. Pray for conversions. Pray for the conversion of all of those who are outside the true church, that they will have the grace to see the truth and the humility to recognize their errors and reject them. I was just reading last night about a famous French priest, and this was in the mid to late 1800s. and you've heard his name, La Cordaire. But what I didn't know is that originally La Cordaire was falling into liberalism. Now, this was at the time of Pope Pius IX, and even before, at the time of Pope Gregory the 16th, and there was a lot of liberalism at that time, which eventually became modernism. And he was beginning to slip into liberalism. And then he went to Rome to ask for guidance, and the Pope at that time, Pope Gregory XVI, came out and condemned liberalism, which was even more condemned later by Pope Pius IX. But he made the comment, he said he loved Rome because the Pope saved him from the abyss, as he put it. He was a very humble man, a very prominent French priest in the, again, latter half of the 19th century. So these teachings of Holy Mother Church, this wonderful encyclical of Pope Pius XI on true Christian unity, are things that we can review over and over to help us understand what the Church teaches, what the truth is, and that is there is only one true Church. And outside of that Church, there is only error, falsehood, and damnation. Thanks be to God that we have the grace of the true faith. Let us pray every day for more and more souls to be converted and to become members of our Lord's Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.